Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Nation Network presents Coming in Hot.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. It is December. It is exciting. I'm Brent Wallace alongside Mr. Humbug himself, Jason York. Yorkie, how are you?
Where'd that come from?
Your tweet yesterday, after the Sens lost, you were not happy. You said you were going to give out the answers of what's going on.
Do you want answers? I just know anytime you can get a chance to get in that clip from A Few Good Men. I watched the game last night from Churchill's. I had a couple beers, and then I came home. I had to rewatch it because anytime you watch a game in a bar, you can't really get the full gist of what's going on in the game. But no, I was just saying, people want answers. They want the truth.
Okay. We will get to them in this show, I promise. As I said, it is December, so everybody gets excited this time of year. In fact, based on Yorkie's unhappiness with the holiday season, I brought in my very own Christmas tree. My mom gave me that tree when I moved out because I said I wasn't going to have any decorations, and she wasn't happy with that. She wanted me to have a tree, so she went to the dollar store and bought that tree, and I've had it for 30
years. Nice.
So enough story time with Brent. Let's move on, shall we? The show is always held together by Renfrew Pro Tape. Go to renfrewpro.com. Also, if you're wrapping Christmas gifts this time of year, put a little extra something on it and personalize it with some Renfrew Pro Tape as you wrap it. Renfrew Pro, the one with the green core. Also, follow them on Instagram, by the way. Renfrew Pro, they give away on Fridays hockey tape packages. So check them out. Give them a follow. Renfrew Pro on Instagram and renfrewpro.com. They are the undisputed leaders in hockey tape. All right, Yorkie. Big game last night. So the Sens wrapped up November, I apologize. 4-9-1. They're 1-7 in their last 8 home games as they lost 3-1 to the New York Rangers. Boy. All right. Give me your thoughts.
My thoughts on the game or my thoughts on November? Yeah. What thoughts are you looking
for? No, we'll just go with this game for a bit.
You know, so when I watched it back, I didn't think Ottawa was that bad to start the game. They're in the game. And it was, to me, like a usual Ottawa Senators game. They're in the game. They're playing pretty good hockey. But the one thing the Rangers do a lot better than the Ottawa Senators do, they don't let you around their net often. They do a really nice job of boxing out. There was no secondary opportunities. And you can say what you want about the Rangers. Yeah, it's lucky when you get tips. And was it 2 of the 3 were tips last night? But it was a gritty, ugly, late November game. Kind of like the weather right now, Wally. You go outside, it sucks. You're like, man, we got 3 more months of that. That wasn't a pretty hockey game. But New York...
No.
just did the little things a little better than the Ottawa Senators. And it's not the Senators played poorly. They just got, they got beat at the fine details of the game when the game really mattered the most. And a couple of key positions as well. And I'll always go back to this. You look down the middle for the Rangers right now. They brought in a guy like Vincent Trocheck. Vincent Trocheck's one of the best two-way forwards in the game right now, a center iceman. And then you got Mika Zibanejad, as we all know, in Ottawa. What he's all, he's in the prime of his career. So those are your 1-2 center icemen in New York. And they're playing against Tim Stützle, who is a dynamic player, but he's going to continue to make plays like he did in overtime. They're like, wow, that's unbelievable. And then plays like you saw against New York where there's lost coverage and it's a goal in the back of your net. But he's a 20-year-old defenseman, center iceman, and that's what you're going to get from him. And that's what people need to understand about the Ottawa Senators. You've got Tim Stützle as your number one and Shane Pinto as your number two, who's a rookie in the league. So when you get into these tight games where the details of the game matter, your percentages of winning these hockey games aren't very good because these players haven't been in these situations before. So to ask for anything more is being very naive as a hockey fan. And then couple in the fact that their defense is subpar, you're just not going to win these games. And it's nothing against effort and system and structure and all these buzzwords people love to throw around. It just is what it is. The Senators right now, people's expectations were much too high for this hockey team. They play hard, they're exciting, but they make a ton of mistakes because of their youth. And you will continue to see this. This is how this team is built. And it's no surprise, but hey, they didn't play that badly. They just got beat at the finer details of the game, and that's why they lost.
So yeah, they, in Shane Pinto, as you brought out, said, we just didn't get in front of the net. We're not getting to the net. Halak saw everything last night. Now, a couple of things. So the second goal, now Drake Batherson had 6 shots on goal, and I thought played a pretty good hockey game.
Yeah.
There is something missing about his game right now. I'm not sure
you
what it is.
You think so?
But that second goal, yeah, there's something. It's just he's not as dynamic, and maybe because he's not playing with Brady Tkachuk and Josh Norris, who's obviously out of the lineup.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a little something off with him. Did have 6 shots on goal, but he had that turnover that led to the second goal because he just threw it. He threw a muffin basically into the slot, right?
Yeah.
The puck never got cleared. Brännström tried to clear it. It didn't get out and then ended up in the back of the net after Barkley Goodrow's hanging all over Eric Brännström. That stuff can't happen when you're a team that's trying to win hockey games.
It can't happen. At the end of the day, the hockey is a game of mistakes. And the problem with the Senators right now, they've put themselves into a situation because of their poor start to the season where all these mistakes are magnified. And it's the pressure. There's a ton of pressure right now because you can't lose hockey games because every time you lose a game, you watch 5 or 6 teams that you're trying to pass just make the gap that much bigger for you. So, yeah, with Batherson, I really like to play on Pinto's goal. That was a nifty little play, a little chip in the neutral zone that sprung Pinto. And I get it. You look at his plus minus and people will say he's struggling. And I'm with you with the chemistry he has with Norris and Tkachuk. To me, that's Ottawa's number one line for sure. With Norris being out, it is what it is. They've tried him with different players. The thing I like about Batherson though, Wally, he's able to hold on to pucks and bring it's called accepting contact. He's big and strong and has a long reach, so he's able to extend plays. And you watch guys that can extend plays in the offensive zone, that's when stuff really opens up. So that's what I like about him. He can do what very few players can do: hold on to the puck, buy time and space for other guys. So to me, there's a lot more good than bad in his game right now. It's just when he makes a mistake, it's magnified just like everybody else. The play I didn't like on that goal, though, we talked about the boxing out and Brännström. I really think he's misplaced in his role with the Ottawa Senators right now. He's playing as a third pairing defenseman, which for most of my career, I was a top four. But in my last year in the NHL, I played in as the sixth defenseman in Boston. So I played between 8 to 13 minutes a night. Wally, that was the hardest matchups I've ever had in my life as a defenseman. You'd think it would be easier, but when you're in that third pairing, you play against the other team's energy guys. So if you're an undersized defenseman, and I was undersized as well, not quite to the extent Brännström is, it's actually harder for Brännström to play in the league playing 13 to 14 minutes, which is what he's doing right now, versus 20. And then couple in the fact he's not on the power play, because people are saying, well, why, he only has 3 assists. Well, he doesn't play the power play. He's in a penalty-killing role playing in your third pairing. That's not what Brännström is going to excel at. He needs to be on a team where he's going to be playing in the top four and being on probably your second power play and getting roughly 30 points a year. I just think he's so miscast in Ottawa. And unfortunately for him, he was traded for Mark Stone, because if he wasn't, he'd probably be in the minors right now.
You think Eric Brännström is a top 4D in the National Hockey League?
No, that's not what I said. I think for Eric Brännström to have success in the National Hockey League, he needs to be on a team where he's going to play more than 13 minutes and probably be a number 4. It's just, if he's going to have that role, it's going to be on a team probably like an Arizona Coyotes or something like that. And listen, there's a spot for guys like that in the league, but it's really tough when you're undersized to play against the other team's fourth and third line. And if you want to really look at good things he does, he has to be on the power play. That's his specialty, walking the line, making plays. His specialty is not killing penalties. That's what he's doing right now. He's miscast, but it is what it is because Ottawa has no other options. Who else are you going to put in your third pair right now? And there we go. We're back to the fact that the blue line right now for the Senators, I'll say it again, it is not the way. After Zub and Shabbat, there's such a drop-off. You know, Sanderson, I know, is a rookie and playing great, but imagine if he wasn't playing the way he's playing right now, where this blue line would be. Because basically, you started the season with Shabbat and Zub, and then the drop-off to, you had Zaitsev, Hamonic, Brännström, Holden. There's no way the organization thought that they were going to get this kind of hockey this quickly from Sanderson. So to me, it's like, how do you start a season with this blue line and claim you're going to play meaningful games in the spring? Like, to me, that's a lot of pressure you put on your coaching staff to play meaningful games when the back end is just not conducive for doing that.
Well, yeah, but part of that, I think they thought that Nikita Zaitsev was going to be in their top six. Or moved for something else to be added. I really think that they were expecting him to play.
So that's got to come down to you made that decision. That was a really bad decision, thinking that, going into a season with all these expectations, and look how it turned out. Like, that's, you can't make mistakes like that. You can't make mistakes like that and start a season.
They've been making them for 4 years.
And hence, that's the problem. So people keep pointing at structure and systems. Yeah, that's part of it. But identification of where guys are fitting in your lineup and then not addressing the problems, to me, that's something that's not brought up enough. And man, it's a big problem.
I like Eric Brännström personally. I think he's a really good guy and a good kid, for lack of a better term. It seems weird to call 20-somethings kids. But he is not an NHL on a winning team player for me. And I know Ottawa's not a winning team, but if you want to be successful, I just don't see Eric Brännström's role being available. That's all I'm saying. And that, I think, plays a big part.
Well, he needs to be on a team. He needs to be playing in a role like a Sam Girard does in Colorado. I'm not saying Brännström's Sam Girard, but it's the system right now. You play in your own zone more with the Ottawa Senators. Do I think he's a top four? No, I'm just saying this is the reason why you're seeing him play the way he does, because he's playing on a team where he's asked to defend more than be an offensive guy. So I'm just saying, if he ever has a chance to be a good NHL player, he needs to be in a different environment. Unfortunately for him, this is what happened. Sanderson came in and played so well that I would think when they were making the depth chart to start the season, it's okay, Shabbat's going to run our first power play, and then Brännström, he'll be our power play two guy. He'll take the 25 to 30 seconds of that second power play. But then Sanderson came in and played so well. How could you not have him on that second power play? And when Shabbat was hurt, he was there as well. So that's just the reason why Brännström is not living up to those first round expectations. And Dorion traded Mark Stone and you got Brännström in return. Everybody thought they were getting this player, but you can only do as a player, Wally. You can only do as a player. If you want to put up points as a defenseman, you have to be on one of the power play units. So unless Brännström's on one of those units, there's no sense having him on the team because he's not doing what he's best at. That's what I mean by all this in my long-winded answer.
Fair enough.
So I'm with you. He's not conducive to the Ottawa Senators winning games. He's not.
I just want six guys who can actually play defense on my blue line at the moment.
And somebody that will punch somebody in the mouth, right? Somebody that will punch somebody in the mouth.
There's no fear in that blue line. I'm moving on because I don't want to get into that topic. Is the Sens unveiled, or wore, I should say, debuted their reverse retro jersey last night. As a former player who's donned the Ottawa Senator uniform, what was your thoughts?
What I didn't were mind your it.
Thoughts, I guess is better English.
You got to remember one thing. I wore the Wild Wing Mighty Duck third jersey.
Fair enough.
So I've had worst jersey that's probably in all of sports that I had to wear. So anything's good after that.
it's a classic.
I know. So bad it's good. I don't really care about the jerseys because at the end of the day, now you've got Maple Leafs with the milk emblem on their sweater, one of the most iconic.
Oh, settle down. Stop showing your age. Let people, it's just an ad.
Exactly. I don't care. It's about making money. You gotta make as much money as you can, and that's why you're seeing these retro jerseys, third jerseys. More jerseys means you can sell more of them. So I don't care. You know what? To me, it's a jersey's a jersey. I could care less. It is what it is, and it's all about making the coin and trying to figure out how you can get more revenue.
So they're supposed to be, though, like fun, imaginative. Look at Florida's. Florida's is I love Florida's. St. Louis is a really nice jersey. Even Seattle, Vegas with the glow in the dark. There was a couple of I don't mind Buffalo's. Anaheim's even okay. Minnesota's is really, really nice. Ottawa looks like they came to the end. We're like, oh, we got to do Ottawa. Here's a stripe through the middle of it. Let's call it a jersey. I actually just hate it. I hate's a strong word. I strongly, strongly dislike it. It's dull and boring. It might as well be. And one of the comments is people wouldn't know that it wasn't their original home, their current home jersey, because it's got a slash through it. It's just
okay.
They could have done a little bit more. It's
so
boring.
To your point that you just made, until you brought this up, I had no idea they were wearing a different jersey. I didn't think it looked any different. I didn't think it looked. I was just pretending I knew what I was talking about. I had no idea. But, so there. It doesn't look any different
See,
to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just got know. That stupid swoosh through the middle of it. It's just, I understand it's got different numbers, but it's not as bad as the
old Captain Highliner from the New York Islanders and the Boston Bruins Pooh Bear.
They brought the Islander one back.
What?
That's their third. That's their retro this year is the Captain Highliner guy.
No.
Oh,
yeah. God. That's awesome.
It's so good.
That's good. I like it. Yeah, this I don't see a lot of difference in this jersey. Just the, I don't know. It's not
the other problem is the pants and the socks are the same. So there's really it just looks the same.
Yeah, I don't know. Looks fine to me.
Nitpicking here. All right, We're moving on is what we're going to do. So the Sens move into December. December, as you know, is a busy, busy month, Yorkie. Lots of stuff going on, parties to get to. Here we go. So here's how somebody broke down and made a calendar. So they're going to go play the Rangers on Friday. And then, by the way, it's tomorrow. And then they're going to host Erik Karlsson and the Sharks. So everybody will be cheering for him to move over to the other side, like when they traded Mike McKenna the same day and he played that night for Vancouver, I think it was. They play LA. Then it's Wally's birthday, followed by they go to Dallas. Then they've got Nashville. But by the way, Dallas, division leading. Nashville is currently just outside the playoff picture. San Jose is just outside the playoffs. Like, these are tough games. Then Alfie's going to celebrate his 50th birthday on the 11th, followed by the next night of Wade Redden goes into the Ring of Honor and as they host the Anaheim Ducks and Mason McTavish, Trevor Zegras, Troy Terry. Be exciting game. Montreal then rolls into town. They go to Detroit in the first of three meetings. That's a 1 o'clock. Then it's Alex DeBrincat's 25th birthday with a game against Minnesota. They got Winnipeg. That's a surprise team, I think, for a lot of people this year in the playoffs. Washington just outside the playoffs, or I think they're tied for the last wild card spot. Detroit. Then you got Brady Tkachuk's probably going to serve up something for Christmas Eve. He's going to have a little bit of a party, as he likes to do. Yorkie's going to be on the couch on Boxing Day. Then he gets ready for the Boston game. They play Washington again in Washington and close it out against Detroit. Basically, there's only two teams really in that group that are out of the playoff picture, if you will. San Jose and Anaheim. Everybody else is like within 3 points of striking distance. That's a tough slide. They've got seven on the road and eight at home? I think it's eight away and seven at home and five against their own division. And by the way, this is the first time all season they're going to go back-to-back. They got three sets of back-to-backs in this one.
Yeah, tough schedule. A tough boiler you put on me there on the couch too, Wally. My goodness.
Well, it's going to be a good Christmas.
The picture of you look like you're a jack-in-a-box up there. Are you popping out of a present or something? You look like the...
I didn't have a lot of time.
But what's that holiday classic with the abominable snowman? They go to the island of misfit toys. You look like that jack in the box. anyhow, no, this is tough, man. This is when it gets tough. And
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You look at those Detroit games, that's a lot of, from the 17th to the 29th, that is a jam-packed schedule, plus Christmas thrown in there as well.
Right.
With the games against San Jose, and Anaheim, those are dangerous games because those teams are in the same predicament of Ottawa, where you don't want to be embarrassed as a hockey player, as a franchise. So those, there's no layups in this league, especially when you're a team like Ottawa who's struggling and there's issues going on with why you're not winning. And so, yeah, tough go here for the Senators, but it's you know, it's going to get to the point where if they don't turn this around, the last thing this team organization needs is to be a team that finishes 12th place and you're not getting a high draft pick. You're getting like a pick outside of the top right. 10. And can you believe we're talking about that right now with all the hope and nope. Talk about this team? We're actually talking about the draft. And if you're going to be bad in the season, it's better to be really bad, because you know what's going to happen. This team is going to start probably winning some more games because they play hard, and finish just outside of the playoffs and get a shitty draft pick. So that would be the absolute worst thing for this hockey team to happen again. Finish just outside of the playoffs and get a bad draft pick in a year when you can get a great pick because there's so many high-end guys in the top probably top 10 this year, Wally. So, man, yep. Talk about depressing. So, it's a tough schedule you put together. Nice job on the schedule, but it's looking at it, it's this can be a really tough month for the Ottawa Senators.
No question. And I will take you back to last December. I was trying to look for obviously trends and say last year what they did in December. Last year, if you remember, was they started this. The month 5-3-1 in December, but on the 18th, they got shut down due to COVID. And that's when COVID went through the team. They didn't play for two more weeks. They didn't play their next game until January the 1st. So I can't really compare last season and how it went, but this is a jam-packed schedule. And Yorkie, listen, we all have stuff going on outside of our work lives, and it's the same for the players. But when you're on the road and traveling, it's a lot less time to get stuff done. They've got to get Christmas shopping in. I know it's a first world problem. I get it. But there's a lot going on. Maybe families visiting. Although they've got those two back-to-back home games. There's a lot just before Christmas for them, right? They play at home on the 22nd, 23rd, and on 27th. But that's a lot of people possibly around. Anyway, it's not an excuse. It's just that stuff is going on.
Well, the other team's going. Don't forget, everybody's going through the same thing. But the one problem when you play a team like Detroit that many times in a short span, so the Senators, to get back to respectability here, need to win a bunch of games in a row. They need to go on a 6-7-8 game winning streak to get back into the discussion. But when you play a team like Detroit in that close in 2 weeks, three times, you're not going to win all three of those games because it never happens. So I don't like that when you're playing a team three times because you're not going to win all three. It rarely happens. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for this team to get on one of those streaks. Hey, any word with Josh Norris? I know DJ Smith said something, but they really need a healthy Josh Norris.
Yeah, he's skating by himself, but it'll be still months. So there was even talk, you know, how much in the year he's going to play. So, and I think it was with Shane Pinto, he really wanted to come back at the end of the year and they still said, we don't really want you to play. Right. So, we'll have to play that out. All right. Last topic before we go, by the way, Brent's, calendar artwork brought to you by BEI, Bonisher Excavating Inc. Go to BEI.com. Bonisher Excavating.com. Give them a call 613-432-1120 in the Ottawa Valley. Listen, they've got aggregate all kinds of stuff to help you with, plus their heavy civil engineers. BEI, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley, also looking to hire. And a reminder, please slow down in construction zones. Okay, Yorkie, on Tuesday.
Hey, Wally, hold on a second. Before we go to the next topic, where can one find that beautiful Christmas calendar if they want to have it for a present? Are these going to be something that are on sale during the holidays?
It'll be expensive, no question, but there might be a way to get you a copy.
Can we make it like an advent calendar, like put a chocolate behind each date, you know, and the Christmas countdown calendar? Do you ever get those?
If I was smarter and if I could plan ahead, I could have had Renfrew Pro tape, maybe have a roll of tape behind each one because they make 30 different kinds. It would have been easy for them to have a different type of tape each day.
Exactly.
Do you buy the? Exactly. Oh, I guess it would be 25 days. Do you do advent calendars? Did you do them in your house?
Every single Christmas. We did it up until my kids were 19 years old. The Christmas countdown, everyone gets their chocolate and they eat it. I had mine too. We even do the gingerbread houses here. We have a gingerbread house making night at the York family. We've already got the gingerbread houses ready. So when the kids come home from college, we'll sit around and we'll put our gingerbread houses together. So take that back.
I want pictures of these.
I'm not a Christmas crank. I'm jolly, man. I'm gonna have my eggnog, a couple old fashions.
I don't like eggnog. However, my wife. So I didn't have one growing up, but I just didn't do advent calendars in my family. Anyway, Lisa, my wife, always had one. So she has bought me one every year we've been together, and now the kids still have one. I still get one every year. So I never bought her one. However, the three of us still get them.
Nice, nice. Awesome.
All right, last topic. On Tuesday, it was a 9-8 game, Seattle-LA. Seattle winning in overtime. They scored 12 goals in the first 30 minutes. So phenomenal game. Would have been great to watch. 17 goals in all. I went back because I was going to say, hey, I'm going to ask Yorkie about this and what if he ever experienced anything like it. And I found one game. You did play in a 10-2 game. That didn't really count. On December 5th, 1992, so basically, what's that, 30 years ago? Detroit 9, Tampa 7. Detroit scored 5 goals in the third period to win this one. Jason York accounted for one shot on goal.
Nice. Solid night.
Nine goals. You had one shot.
Yeah. But you know who was on that team? So 1992, this is why it took me 3 years to make the NHL, Wally. They had Nicholas Lidstrom. They had Brad McCrimmon. They had Konstantinov. They had Paul Coffey. They even traded for Bob Rose from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And anytime.
Not this night. Then,
You got the
I'll give you the roster.
Give me the roster.
By the way, Gerard Gallant played in that game.
Yeah.
Sean Bird, Jimmy Carson, Steve Chiasson, Dino Ciccarelli, Dallas Drake, Gerard Gallant, Mark Howe, Nick Lidstrom, Brad McCrimmon, Keith Primo, Bob Probert, Yves Racine, Ray Shepard, Mike Sillinger, Paul Eisenbart, Steve Azerman, Vincent Riendo, by the way, was the goalie that night.
Ooh. Was that in Tampa, Wally?
Yes.
That
I remember that this game.
Well, it was one of my first games in the league, and I believe
it was your second game in the league.
You want to know what I remember from that road trip? That was back in the days when guys used to still go out the night before games, and I'm called up, and a bunch of the older guys had gone out before the game and had a few beers. And I remember guys skating in the pregame skate. All right, boys, let's sweat it out. Sweat the booze out. And I'm like, wow, this is what the NHL's like. Guys really do go out the night before a game. And then playing, that was in the old Tampa Arena as well. I think, I'm trying to remember that arena, but that wasn't in the new building. So
wasn't
it, was in
it
the old building.
Like a convention center? It was like where they had the horse. It was a barn or whatever. Like it was playing in the cattle castle downtown.
Yeah, the ice was horrendous. I remember that.
Yeah.
As far as the game goes, like I said, I don't remember the game. I just remember the guys that went out before the night, and I was shocked. And those early Detroit teams, though, you named some of the guys, like Mark Howe. What a great guy he was, getting the chance to play with Mark Howe and Brad McCrimmon, who is no longer around. He passed away. What a great mentor Brad McCrimmon was. He used to bring me this quick story on Brad McCrimmon, because we were talking about boxing out and taking guys in front of the net. McCrimmon used to take me after practice. He's like, come over here, kid. I'm going to show you the right way how to handle the forwards in front of the net. He goes, trick number one, if the guy's about 220, 230, take your stick and slash the top of his laces on his skates. He goes, that'll get him to stand up. And after he stands up, cross-check him in the ass, and it'll get him out of there as quick as possible. So he used to pull me aside after practice and show me all these little tips. What a great guy. And that was the nice thing about that era. You had those old veterans like Howe and McCrimmon that they had just had such a distinguished career and great guys too. If I remember on the road as well, as a young rookie, McCrimmon, Howe, let's go, kid. You're coming with us. We're going out for dinner. And they would just show you the right way how to be a pro. Next day at practice, hey, we had a couple beers. You make sure you're first on the ice, last off, get on the bike after practice. Just little lessons like that. But I'll never forget McCrimmon's tutelage on how to slash guys and do the little tricks in front of the net. Stuff you can't really get away with anymore. But now it was a fun time to come into the league, Wally, because I kind of came into that sweet spot of old school guys and the league kind of turning over. So I got a chance to play with Paul Coffey, who came in later for that team, was just such a treat to play with, man. I got so many great Coffey stories. Just a great guy and a really cool guy to play with.
Was it true he had like skates that were 19 sizes too small?
So you know what he used to do? And Alfie did this as well. He would go around the stalls of guys and he'd pull out guys' old skates. And he would try them on. Well, first he'd go sharpen them because he sharpened his own skates. So, oh, these are pretty good. He goes, let me see those. So he grabbed my old skates, wore them out for a practice one thing. Oh, I'm going to try these for a while, kid. He goes, oh, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. And the best Coffey skate story I have is we came back from the off season. It was the first day on the ice for training camp. So Coffey goes out, has no bucket on, no helmet, has a brand new pair of skates. Right out of the box, puts these skates on, goes out, and he is by far the best skater on the ice. He's skating around, forwards, backwards, wheeling around. So he comes out after, and I'm like, Koff, like, do you skate a lot during the summer? He goes, skate? It's my first time on the ice, kid. He goes, but at the cottage all summer. I go, what? I go, you have brand new skates on. You haven't skated. I go, what do you do? He goes, I have a bike. I put it on my dock, and I ride that bike every day. And he was serious. That's what he did. He didn't skate. Like, he was such a good athlete and such a great skater that it was just, he's a genetic freak. Like, his stride, Wally, was unbelievable. But the skate thing, yeah, he wore skates that were a little small. And he wore other guys' skates, too. Like, it was crazy. And he was fanatic about his skates. He, at least when I played with him, he sharpened his own skates because he wanted them just, he'd go in there and make sure everything was perfect. And but his hockey stick... You know the old Coffey PMP, the old Sherwood?
Yep. The Sherwood, so, you know, Sherwood 5030.
He would just take the stick and the trainer would tape it for him. He didn't even care about his stick. He's there, tape this up for me. He didn't even care. He goes, stick's a stick. He goes, I could use any stick. He goes, but my skates need to be perfect. And hey, hence, I'm not going to argue with him. Look at him skate, right?
Yeah, he did okay. So, by the way, the Tampa Bay Lightning played in Expo Hall that first season.
Yeah.
When it comes to skates, do you remember when they started molding them and making them more custom? Because I'm guessing in 92, yeah. or he would have taken them out of a box that were retail, right? They wouldn't have been any kind of molding back then, I don't think.
No, there was no heat oven yet. Like, guys weren't putting their skates in the oven. They were just, you just put them on and off you went. No, you're right. You started doing that, I think, you know what guys did before the oven came out? You used to see these in doctor's offices, and every single training room had the heat hydroculator, where you put heat pads. So these heat pads would go in the hot water, and then guys would wrap around their backs and shoulders. So guys would take the heat packs out, put their skates on this hydroculator to warm their skates up, and he used that for the skate oven. So, then the ovens came out. And, yeah. You had to be, you had to take the initiative to do things like that. So,
last point on that 9-7 game, by the way, goalie save percentages in that game, Vincent Riendo for Detroit, 806. And by the way, he played the whole game. Wendell Young, 750, and Pat Jablonski, 667 save percentage. Tough night for the goalies.
Well, there was a lot of tough nights back then, Wally. Imagine playing in the 80s. When guys played in the 80s. You let in five, you had a good night.
Yeah. Well, we won 6-5. Steve Yzerman had 5 points that night. Yorkie, it is weekend time. Oh, it's vacation time for you.
Yes. What's the I'm heading out to Florida. So the next time you and I speak, I will have my laptop and hopefully a nice little palm tree backdrop for us to talk about heading to Fort Lauderdale for 5 days.
And the next time will be on Monday and Bobby Ryan will be joining us. So we'll have a chat, the three of us. We'll talk about all your glorious Detroit Red Wing days, the two of you.
Hey, Bobby and I actually talked to Bobby last night. Bobby sent me a text and a picture. We have a common friend in Anaheim, Bruno Serrato, who owns, I don't know if you've been to this restaurant. It's the Anaheim White House. Arguably, I'd say one of the top restaurants in California. Unbelievable food. So I get this message from Bobby. He goes, "Hey, I'm with Bruno. Can't wait to see you on Monday." Have you eaten there, Anaheim White House? It's fantastic.
No. Yorkie, we do not have the same bank accounts.
Hey, you got to live, man. You got to live.
Yes, I got to live. I need to not live in a van down by the river. Is that, by the way, Anaheim, is that on the beach area? Is that where that restaurant is?
No, it's actually very
close
to
the rink. Where all the players live.
No, it's actually in, it's only 10 minutes from the rink. It's in a little sketchier part of town, kind of near Disneyland, that area.
All
the players are down in Newport Beach and down there, Irvine.
That's Newport.
Yeah. In that really nice area. But yeah.
We did the 07 Cup final.
Yeah.
We stayed out there. It was really nice. Yeah.
You need to be making at least $2 million to live comfortably out there. it's a different snack bracket, man.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't go to that restaurant. The Ian, it's funny. We should have Mendez on sometime. We did a tourist day and we went to like the Hollywood Walk of Fame and the Kodak Theater and we were OJ's house. Yeah. We were all over the place. Anyway.
So I'll tell you a funny, interesting thing. So when everyone knows the Anaheim Ducks used to be called the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. And I was there playing in the team's second year of existence. And I don't know if you remember this, but the big perk when you played for the Mighty Ducks was they gave you the Silver Pass. So the Silver Pass was this thing you could use. Did you hear about this? The Silver Pass was good for you and four people to get into Disneyland for free and get everything comp when you got into the park. It was crazy. So you got to the Ducks. I remember getting traded there with Mike Solinger. You go in, you meet everybody, and then, okay, you need to go in the office and meet everybody. And it was a real family environment there. And you met, I forget the Jenny. Jenny Price was the lady there. And she goes, "Okay, here's your Silver Pass." And I'm like, "What's this?" She's like, "Oh, yeah, just give this to your wife. And whenever you have people coming from Disney, for Disney, they can all get in." I'm like, "Wow, this is a bonus." So we had people coming pretty well every weekend to visit us. And the Silver Pass, man, that thing was getting worn out. It was getting overused. Oh, I missed the Silver
Pass. That's great. That family, yes, I was always told like Disney and then the Samueli family, I'm trying to remember if I have the name right, always took care of the players.
Oh, well, you get treated, at least when I played there, you get treated like gold in Anaheim, and it's a really great place to play. And I know young Mason McTavish is playing there, who's from Carp. He's going to have a blast playing there. And if you're a guy too that doesn't like the limelight, nobody knows who you are there. You can do whatever you want. You can go places. Just always give yourself an hour because you get in your car at the wrong time of day there. Man, the traffic is not fun. But hey, everything comes with a price, right? You want the nice weather? There's got to be something that's not going to be good. There's so many people there. It's just really, really busy. But hey, that's the price.
I just realized.
Talk about the price. Look at that jersey. Oh,
that is priceless. Is that you and Bobby both played at Anaheim, Ottawa, and Detroit?
Wow. See, these are things I learned from you, Wally. This you're very because I wouldn't even think of that. I wouldn't even think of that.
I know.
Yeah.
Here I am, always Monday, trying to help.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Bobby, and I can't wait for people to stop sending you messages asking when Bobby's coming on the show.
That's what I'm looking forward to. It. So let Bobby answer those from all here on out. Anyway, I look forward to it. Monday, we will see you as we continue the Coming In Hot podcast into December. See you, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.